Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Election Night Special Take the Points podcast. It's very hard to talk when there's music playing in the background. It's Tuesday night, November 8th. There is an election underway. We have no idea what's happening because we've chosen to focus on sports lines and prop bets rather than things that are important. My name is Tom Zalesnok. I'm in Connecticut. And via Skype, we have Dan Partridge and Ryan Spillett from separate locations in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, guys.
Hi, Tom.
Good to be back.
Well, before we get into election night coverage, which means nonsense and ramblings, and the lines, I guess we have to recap the one big game from last week, guys, which was Alabama 10, LSU 0. The most typical LSU performance of all time, I would say. LSU's defense played a stellar game, one of their best, definitely their best of this season, and one of the best they've ever played. And yet, due to lack of quarterback play, they scored 0 points and lost to Alabama, allowing only one touchdown and then one late field goal. So if you're LSU, where do you go from here, Dan?
Same as it ever was. Just open up the offense and find a quarterback. I mean, look, it's college football. You're allowed like 199 scholarships or something absurd for your team. Like, you're Louisiana State University. You get to wear those colors. You get to play for a team that produces that amount of NFL players, which means they're going to get you paid. Just sign 4 quarterbacks every year who are 4 or 5 stars and figure it out. I mean, one of these guys has to be good, right? And then that's the first part. And the second part's getting a really good quarterbacks coach, offensive coordinator, and head coach in line. So, you know, it's really as simple as that. But we keep talking about it. Same as it ever was. LSU, great defense, great running game, great line play, blah, 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 blah. Can't throw the ball in a big spot to save their lives. And it's 2016. It's not 1993. You know, Tommy Frazier isn't running around. Like, it's time to open up the offense. It's just, it's really frustrating. And it must make LSU fans crazy. I mean, I'm not an LSU fan, and you aren't, and, you know, I mean, all of us aren't obsessive or anything, you know. And it's just, to watch it happen over and over and over again, makes me crazy.
It's painful. Because this is the election night special, we will drop some America knowledge. I also have America-themed songs queued up from time to time. But the first America-themed knowledge that I'll bring up, I heard that 50% of the country, or not 50% of the country, but they did a poll and they sampled, I don't know, hundreds or thousands of people. And 50% of the people surveyed said that they had experienced like stress or anxiety related to the election and the election coverage. I feel that way when I watch LSU take on Alabama. I feel like I have some sort of like anxiety on behalf of LSU fans. Like a, you know how twins can feel each other's pain? That's how I feel. I feel like I'm the twin of an LSU fan and I'm vicariously feeling their pain. Anybody else feel that?
Yeah, same thing.
Oh, yeah. Here's what you do. If you're Ed Orgeron and you wanna get this job, here's what you do. You call up our boy Cliff out in Lubbock and you say, hey, Cliff, you got an eye for these things and you seem to get 3 of these bastards to transfer out a year. You're going to push one my way and I'm going to send you 2 DNs from down in Baton Rouge. We're going to give ourselves a little trade under the table. That's how you fix that. You go out and you send him 2 3.5 star DNs. He sends you one of his unhappy 4 awesome quarterbacks no one's heard of, and we move on.
I like it. He could send like Logan Webb, Davis Webb's younger brother, in exchange for 2 giant D linemen. It's like wife swap of college football.
Straight up trade, fantasy football style.
Good. Don't even give the players a choice. Be like, hey, buddy, we're going on a little road trip. Come on. You just shake the keys at him like you're taking a dog to the vet.
Hey, buddy.
He comes into the office. He said, coach, I want my release. And where are you looking? He goes, well, here's the thing. I'm good friends with Coach O. Let me give him a call. Let him know that you're looking for a school. And we'll see if that's a good fit. What kid at Texas Tech is going to say no to LSU? Zero. And then Coach O sends him a couple of recruits, says, I think these kids will be good for you. I'll push them your way. I like it.
Yeah, you take the more professional approach to it than me, you know, ringing the keys at them. That's not a bad plan, though. LSU's second-string D linemen probably are much better than Texas Tech's starting D linemen. And not probably, they definitely are. So you tell them, go to this school and you're going to play and you're going to be a starter and you'll be a star. You still could be an NFL player. And we'll take your second-string quarterback who transfers. Win-win for everybody. But we're going to have to move on from LSU because they are now a three-loss team, which, by the way, Dan, episode one, we talked about prop bets for the season. I said LSU more than two losses, and it just came in. I had to sweat it out a little. It was looking very strong in September.
Excellent job, Z. Very easy.
So just out, before election results, came an even more important poll, the college football poll. Finally, they got it right this week after last week's error. So Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Michigan 3, and then Washington rightfully claims their number 4 spot. I don't think anyone's going to disagree with that. My question for you guys is, first off, let's pause and take a moment of silence for Penn State being a top 10 team. And then secondly, who do you see as teams outside the top 4 that will make a push? Because not all of those top 4 are going to make it based on history. So a brief moment of sadness for Penn State being in the top 10. And we're back. Dan, why don't you kick it off?
Penn State in the top 10 is just hard to imagine. I saw a Vegas rankings list came out today, and Penn State wasn't in their top 25, which is really hardcore.
There is a scenario in which Penn State could be a playoff team. I'm just throwing that out there. It's a slight chance, but it could happen.
Oh, sorry. Obviously, Ohio State, you know, I think they control their own destiny still. If they beat Michigan and run the rest of the table, I think they'll go. Louisville, in theory, I don't know. It's hard. I mean, I really think these are going to be, if not all four of the teams, then at minimum two, but probably three, and four wouldn't shock me. I just think you swap Ohio State and Michigan, and that's it. But that's me. We'll see.
Ryan, any surprises you think we could look forward to over the next few weeks?
Kind of like what Dan said, I tend to actually go to the Vegas power rankings. And like he said, Penn State – actually, Dan, they updated it like an hour ago, and they're now at 22, Penn State. They have USC's 20th in the BCS poll or whatever, but they're 11th in the Vegas rankings. They still have LSU at 8 in the Vegas rankings, not 24. So I think those are the ones that kind of I look at right away, that there's a huge discrepancy. The games that are hardest to pick are those teams that everybody has in the middle. Those Oklahoma States, West Virginia, Va-Tech, North Carolina, like those teams are so hard to predict. They're in that 13 to 18 range, and I just really don't know if any of them are any good.
There's a lot of mediocrity this year for sure. Dan, you had a point?
Auburn is very interesting still. I think Auburn also controls their own destiny. I think if Auburn wins out and either Washington or Clemson lose, or like something weird with Ohio State and Michigan winning and then blowing another game or something, I think they get in. If they beat Alabama and they run the table, they'll, with two losses, get in over a one-loss Clemson or Washington for sure. So, crazy. I mean, it's November 8th and Auburn's still not eliminated. You never would have guessed that. Nobody would have guessed that, even myself, back in September or even early October. So, hats off to Malzahn. He's apparently not a stiff coach, and we're moving on.
If you had told me Wisconsin, LSU, and Penn State would all be top 10 teams, and that Nebraska would have been a top 10 team up until last week, I probably would have just laughed at you. But here we are. And there may be more shakeups to come. The one interesting thing I would watch for, we saw last year was a pretty easy playoff scenario. The four teams that got in, everybody agreed with. But the first year, if you remember, we had TCU and Baylor with one loss, and it was sort of between those two and Ohio State. And Ohio State won it all, so it's easy to look back in hindsight and say they were the right choice. But at the time, it was pretty much a toss-up. And I think the NCAA... The NCAA showed us that, let's be honest, they're always going to go toward money when they can. So what I could see happening is Ohio State beating Michigan. And if like Wisconsin drops a game or you have Louisville, Washington drops a game and you have Louisville with one loss, I can see Michigan still getting in because of the big name and the big following and sort of jumping those teams. It's money possible. Talks.
Auburn's got a massive following too. I mean, they're, you know, so interesting. I think Auburn controls their own destiny. I think Michigan does. I think Ohio State does. Washington does. Clemson does. Alabama does. And that's it. Everyone else needs help outside those six.
Are there any other games you'd like to recap from week 10? Nothing stood out to me particularly.
No, it was pretty much a chill Saturday with a little Alabama.
Anything about tonight's election or America in general you would like to discuss before we jump into the lines? Seeing some head shaking? No?
Uncle Sam's listening, Tom. We got to move on to college football gambling.
I am wearing the Charles Barkley original Dream Team jersey in solidarity with my country. I do have a powerful message for America that I'm going to save for the end of the podcast. But I feel like I'm going to solve all of this divisiveness, but I want to make people wait. Penn State -7 at Indiana is much more important. Mm. That's the first line. We're jumping straight to Saturday, November 12th, to the Big Ten. I stop on this one because it's at Indiana, but that line does seem a little low given Penn State's recent performances. So what do we think?
I keep saying Penn State's going to fall off, and they keep covering. So as crazy as it sounds, you got to ride with Penn State until they stop covering.
Spill it?
Yeah, I mean, that number seems a little bit low, but it seems like a really manageable value. So, you know, probably ride with Penn State.
I like this line a lot. I know that there's potential for a letdown, or perhaps Penn State's been playing a little bit above their head, but they're a top 10 team now, and they're there because a lot of people think they're pretty good. I mean, not great, but pretty good. I probably would have considered taking them -7 at Indiana even a few weeks ago before they beat Ohio State and started their climb. So to me, this line doesn't really make sense. I think that people are just Vegas is thinking that not everyone's totally on board with Penn State and that they're due for a letdown. And so I do think there is something to this Penn State team. They seem like a totally new team since they got their linebackers back. We'll move along, but Dan's got something to add. Oh, no. Dan's got nothing to add. False alarm. All right, the other two games in the Big Ten, Ohio State -29.5 at Maryland and Michigan -22 at Iowa. A semi-test for a Michigan team that really hasn't played very many good games this whole year. So any thoughts?
Iowa's my trap of the week. Michigan, I don't know. I still am not – something not right with them. I know it's – I know people see these crazy blowout wins. I just don't feel it yet. I'm not on board, and that's a lot of points on the road this time of year. So trap of the week. Give me all the points with Iowa. One of these weeks I'll be right. Maybe not. We'll see. But I'm going to take Iowa in the 20.5.
Michigan has played one of the worst schedules that you can to be 9-0 in third place. They beat Wisconsin in a tough game when Wisconsin was still a young team trying to find themselves. And they haven't really – well, they beat Penn State without any of their linebackers. Penn State was down to their seventh linebacker, so I almost don't count that game. They haven't been tested. They could be great. Who knows? But beating Maryland by 60 doesn't really do a lot for me.
Iowa was a hype team before the season started. They have players who are going to the NFL. They got a bunch of them this year, actually. And there's some talent there. And this is, you know, I mean, I know that they've had a hard year, but again, this is your Super Bowl. So huge motivation for Iowa. They have some talent that's going to the next level. Three touchdowns is a lot. We'll see.
Ryan, you like either of those games, Ohio State or Michigan?
Not really. I think it's this point, it's we're at the point in the season where these teams are just straight up style points. Now that the rankings are out every week, they're just going to run it up. So in these situations, especially when you got a bunch of dick coaches, just lay it.
Ohio State is really coming on strong the last couple weeks, and Maryland is no good. I mean, DJ Durkin, I don't know what he's doing over there, but he doesn't have them headed in the right direction. They showed a slight spark early in the year, and then they've just been terrible the last few years. So, Dan, since you didn't have music for the trap of the week, I'm going to play an American theme song leading us into the Big 12.
Please do.
This one's in honor of you, Dan.
Hmm.
Oh, no volume. That would help.
Yes.
This is my American theme song, by which I mean an anti-American song by a Canadian. All right.
Great work, Tom.
I've got more. I think I'll segue between each conference with an America song.
Good.
Big 12. West Virginia at Texas. Texas a minus two favorite. Baylor at Oklahoma. Oklahoma, after Baylor was ranked, what, seventh a couple weeks ago? Now Oklahoma's a 15-point favorite. And then Texas Tech at Oklahoma State, 12.5-point favorite. I looked at the lines earlier today, Tuesday. So these are early lines. By the time you listen to this podcast, it may have changed. And I also don't have any totals. So we usually take the Texas Tech over, but I don't know what it is.
Well, Tom, a couple things on the Big 12 here. I like Texas Tech in the points. They have issues, you know, sometimes with a really top echelon team, but I think Oklahoma State's a little bit, you know, middle of the pack, so I will take the points. Texas-West Virginia is super interesting. Texas minus two, very shady spread. I believe me and Ryan were talking about that one on Sunday. Pretty craziness. And I think that's it. I will find you the total in the Texas Tech game in just a second.
You could just name a number, Dan. Name a number in the 80s, and I'll just say the word over, and that could be the end of it.
Exactly. I mean, why am I looking for team names where I just look for points? There. Oh, I see one that's 90. Let me guess. That's it. 90. 90.
Is it 90? Wow, that might even be too high for me.
No.
I won't take the under. Texas Tech is on a two-game losing streak with the over, although they lost by like 1 point last week.
Check the weather. If not, over. Fire it.
Here's what you do. You go ahead and you do yourself a three-way parlay on the over for all three of those games, and you have yourself a fun time viewing. That's what I'll be doing. Triple parlay, all three overs, Big 12. Love it.
All right. West Virginia at Texas is a little bit of a shady line, as you mentioned. I noticed, much like the Penn State game, there are some road teams that seem to have lines that are more favorable than you would think. So I suppose we go with West Virginia in that game, if we had to pick?
Yes, I think so.
West Virginia is a weird team. I think they're ranked 17th now, despite only having the one loss.
16.
They're in that sort of barrel of mediocrity from, like, teams. Yeah. Basically, I guess you could start with Penn State all the way down to, like, Arkansas at 25. Those are 15 teams that all are about the same, and you could pick two out of a hat and like just call it a pick them, and I think you'd be okay.
Agree.
All right, SEC. Oh, wait, I need some transitional music. Let's Please. See. Oh, perfect for SEC. Yes. Usually we do Sweet Home Alabama, but I'll switch it up. This is the super dramatic extended remix version. We're going to ride this out till the solo.
Please do.
All right, all right. So we have five games of note. Mississippi State at Alabama. Alabama 29-point favorite. Kentucky at Tennessee. Tennessee minus 13.5. Will Muschamp going back to the swamp. Florida is a minus 11 favorite. Florida, by the way, fell from ranked 11th to unranked. And yeah, biggest drop off of the week. You can't really get much bigger drop off than that. Auburn minus 10 at Georgia. We'll definitely talk about that one. And then LSU minus 7 at Arkansas. That's a really, really tough one. To me, that's the toughest one. Dan?
Yeah, that's really super hard. I'd probably take Arkansas. I'd probably take Arkansas in that spot. The LSU line's also shady as hell. Obviously. Alabama's laying a ton of points. I would kind of stay away there. I think the A&M spread's a little bit inflated, actually, against Ole Miss. Obviously, Chad Kelly out, but I think there's still enough talent around there to keep it closer, and A&M has some flaws. So, and they have a November curse, so just because they're playing a backup doesn't mean they're going to roll. So, weird week in the SEC. Really, really hard. Tennessee, Kentucky, another shady one. Kentucky's like having their best season in what, like 15 years? So kind of hard to pick against them with an underachieving Tennessee squad. So it's an interesting week. Most of these lines kind of, you know, just show one team has more natural talent and they're favored, but there's some weird kind of chemistry issues going on. Be careful this week in the SEC.
Kentucky-Tennessee is somewhat of a rivalry game, bordering states. Kentucky football, Dan, is so good this year, they have a new slogan. Kentucky football, we're not the worst anymore. I think it's catchy. It's got a good ring to it.
Did they steal that from Duke?
Duke football? Yeah, possibly. Wake Forest, too, is suing them because they want that same slogan. Mm-hmm. Although Wake is a significant underdog this week, which we'll get to. On these games, I like Will Muschamp, who has that team playing well for 2 weeks, to cover the points against his former team, who is really fading as of late. So I don't know if I can pull the trigger on a Will Muschamp bet, but I think there's good value there. And then, well, spill it. Do you like any of those? We'll save Auburn for the end.
Okay. Well, we'll save that one because I like that one the most. So I'm going to go ahead and say you go and lock in the under on Muschamp. Florida's quarterback situation is LSU-esque at this point almost. Muschamp unders have been an absolute winner every week, super steal. Just go ahead and lock that in. Agree with Dan, just stay away from the Ole Miss game. Just watch and see what the new quarterback can do because it's don't bet that. The other one, Bama, this has 53-0 written all over it. Mississippi State got their big win. They shot their load last week. They got their SEC win. The conference, they're not going to lose out in the conference. To me, that's an easy, easy stone lock, Alabama. And the game that I disagree with you guys on is I am going to ride or die with the LSU Tigers. You know, regular listeners know how I feel about Bilema. I think he sucks. And I think Arkansas is super overrated 2 years in a row, and I don't buy it. At some point, the team just gives up, and they'll recover. They'll rebound for a bowl win and win the lines in their favor, but no way. Fournette, he's going to run for like 234.
All right. I'm not so sure about LSU, but Auburn minus 10 at Georgia. I think this is one we all feel good about.
Auburn lock of the week.
Yeah. So Auburn is number 9, and not only are they number 9, but remember they started out with 2 early losses. So them at number 9 means they're just absolutely excelling as of late. They're really on a hot streak. Georgia, meanwhile, I feel like the only reason this line is at 10 is because of Georgia's sort of brand recognition. This team is awful lately. If this was just team A and team B and they had the resumes side by side, this is a 24 point line. Dan?
Completely agree. I think Auburn's going to hammer them. I think it helps that they played kind of a sloppy game last week too. So come on, Auburn, keep it rolling. Smash them. I want to see it.
It pains me. Kirby Smart is struggling at Georgia. Meanwhile, Mr. Mark Richt putting up 50 points last week in a big win. Could Georgia be the next curse of Phil Fulmer? Could it be the curse of Mark Richt?
It's possible. Anything's possible with Richt. You never know.
Now that the Cubs have won a World Series, we need another like big time curse. Like if Mark Richt put a curse on, well, spill it.
It's on your head.
Oh, well, I'm wearing a Buffalo Bills hat for our listeners. The Bills aren't cursed. They just suck. Like there's a difference. Like there's no known, unless I'm, you know, being delinquent in my fanhood, is there some sort of curse I don't know about?
Oh, yes. Rob Johnson must die.
Oh, yep. That's true. But that was just a poor coaching decision.
Nope.
Gentlemen,
it's all
please.
Rob Johnson's fault.
Save right. Your Bills talk for the Buffalo Bills podcast that's recording in 20 minutes from now.
Dan has the handgun pointed to his chin, ready to fire. Every time we
There's
talk
no
Bills.
There's no time for Bills football talk right now. We got to move.
Every time we talk Bills, Dan just takes a six shooter and plays a little Russian roulette. So far, he's survived all versions, but could be
it's
bad.
It's pretty funny at this point.
All right, moving along. Two other games. I forgot the music. Stupid iPhone shut off on me. My thumbprint. When you try to get the thumbprint at a weird angle, it doesn't always work. Tulsa at Navy. Tulsa minus 2. Navy playing well, and they have a home game. I put this on because I like Navy. I think they're going to win that game. And then Army at Notre Dame. Notre Dame minus 13.5. Already lost to Navy. Could it be a sweep of the armed forces?
Very possible.
Army's not as good as Navy.
No.
But would you lay 13.5 points with Notre Dame against anybody right now?
No, cannot. I'll definitely take Army every time.
It's hard.
So in honor of our election day in America, I say we make it a military parlay.
Okay. Love it.
You guys don't seem very enthused by that.
We're just overrun with election enthusiasm at this point. It may appear like we're not enthusiastic, Tom, but we're behind you 100%.
Have I not paid you enough to endorse the military, a la the NFL?
Join the armed forces at NavyFederal.com.
For anybody who doesn't watch real sports, there was the last one, or maybe it was two ago, they talked about the paid patriotism, where apparently I didn't know this, but the military like pays the NFL to do all those displays. That's why you see all the flags and the flyovers at the NFL games. It's not because they're patriotic; it's because they're getting straight cash. So I went out. I thought this sounds like a good opportunity for Take the Points, and I went out and got us a sponsorship. The Army was not interested. I went to the Navy. They were not interested. I tried the Air Force. They were not interested either. However, I did get us a sponsorship, guys. Take the Points is now brought to you by the Coast Guard. Please.
Yes.
The Coast Guard. It's like fishing without any of the fun parts.
I love it, Tom. Great work.
Yeah. We're really rolling in the sponsorships lately. First, we had the CBS All Access app, and now we have the Coast Guard.
I like it. And while you're at it, Tom, you can go ahead and throw Air Force home against Colorado State into that military parlay. I like that a lot.
Oh, there you go. All right. I'm betting all military this week. That's my promise to America.
Oh, excellent.
All right. I think it's time for another song as we transition into the ACC. So let's see. Here we go. All right. NC State at Syracuse. Off the board. Spill it. Why is this game off the board? Dungy?
Dungy. Have no idea if he is going to play. They're still not saying.
So, I think NC State's the favorite either way. I think we can pay attention to that. If Dungy's out, I think Syracuse doesn't stand a chance. Is that fair to say?
It's fair to say.
And if Dungy's in, what do you think? It's at the Dome.
I think if Dungy plays, they win that game.
So we are at the point, I told Dan on the last podcast, we're at the point in Syracuse. I drove up there on October 28th through an inch and a half of snow in the capital/Schenectady region. These NC State guys, I mean, it's still 70 degrees down there. They are not going to want to make that trip to Central New York at this time of year. So
no, they're not.
If Dungy plays and Dungy's healthy, I think there's some potential for an upset by the Cuse.
Okay.
I like it. And let me add, since we're on the topic, I actually did some research, read some things, and pretty excited about a couple of recruits Syracuse has. So this quarterback from Don Bosco Prep in New Jersey, DeVito, apparently this guy was on the Trent Dilfer Elite 11, and he's going to Syracuse. That's quite impressive. And then I read a story today about a kid, a late bloomer down in Florida, plays in the 7A, which is the largest class in the state. That's the big boys. Through 10 games, 249 carries, 2,554 yards, 31 touchdowns, 9 two-point conversions. Through 10 games, playing big boy football, 5'11", 205, just committed. So things are looking good. Dino's down in Florida. He's getting some nice athletes from the big schools, and things are looking up. Don't expect any more Syracuse talk for the rest of the year.
That's impressive. I didn't know about this kid, even though he is a high recruit, because he's interested in Syracuse. I think my brain blocked it out like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind or whatever that is. I think my brain has like a dead zone for Syracuse related football. But why wouldn't you want to play for Dino Babers? I mean, so if you're from the East Coast, Pac-12, they have high-scoring offenses, but it's a little far away. The Big 12, well, Baylor is now a place, not really a destination you want to go to. A lot of those Big 12 schools are a mess. Texas Tech's a high-scoring team, but, you know, they're sort of far away, and they're not, a marquee brand college. So I'm not saying SU is like the best option, but it's definitely an option on your radar now if you're one of those guys who just wants to play in like a run and gun style offense. Why not consider it?
Dino puts dudes in the league.
It's true.
As at Baylor, Jimmy Garoppolo at Eastern, whatever, Illinois. The quarterback from Bowling Green last year, he got picked up on someone's practice squad. So he's putting guys in the league. He'll get recruits. That's all that matters.
My feeling is,
put me on TV, put me in the league.
Yeah, my feeling is, and of course there's no like empirical evidence to back this up, but if you're a kid back in the day, Bobby Bowden or Joe Paterno or whoever would come to you and say like, yeah, you're a receiver, you're a quarterback, you're going to throw or catch like 2 times a game, but I'm going to teach you the basics and you're going to be playing on Sundays one day. Now kids can go to a fun place like a Baylor the last few years or a Cal, and they can still make the league and they can have a lot of fun in college and catch 200 yards a game. Why not do that? I mean, unless you're going to Alabama where it's like you're pretty much automatically in the NFL. Like, I would want to enjoy my college experience, catch for 200 yards a game, and then go on to the NFL as well. So the world's your oyster these days.
It's a valid point, Z. I like that.
Dino.
Yep.
Plus we have Dino. Dinosaur barbecue, and you'll never need air conditioning. You don't even have to worry about installing air conditioning in Syracuse. You'll never need it.
There's no point.
You know how hard it is to get those units in the window? You got to like hold it up. Then you got to put a wooden board under it because it's not level. Then you got to like screw it in. Then you like get your hand caught in the screen trying to pull it down. You go to Syracuse, you'll never have to deal with that. This is part of my new pitch. Come to Syracuse for the convenience. Mark Richt, minus 10 at Virginia. Pitt at Clemson, Clemson minus 21. And oh, my beloved Wake Forest, plus 35 at Louisville. It was a good run.
It was a good run for Wake Forest. That's a ton of points. North Carolina for me is like the hardest team to read in the country now. I have no idea if they're good or bad or they're up to their old tricks again. I'm steering clear of them until further notice. Florida State, so close, so far away.
Yeah, I left these ones off, the ones I just mentioned, because I have no opinion and they're just too hard to pick.
Yeah, it's an interesting week in the ACC. What do you guys think?
Totally agree. Super hard week. Just let some of these teams kind of shake out and see how they look.
Miami minus 10 at Virginia is an interesting game. Normally I'd take Miami. They're playing really well, but Bronco Mendenhall seems to have turned the corner a little bit this season at Virginia. So there's some potential for a tight game there. I think I would lean Miami in that. And I mean, there's no way I'd bet against Louisville, so that might be a stay away, but my love affair with Wake Forest comes to an end, at least for this week.
Good call.
Yes. All right. That's it. Moving on to the Pac-12. Let me get another song. Let's see. Here we go. This one's got to be played at some point, right?
Oh, this is exactly what the Pac-12 needs.
Perfect.
Pittsburgh, right. PA.
Stanford, minus 3.5 at Oregon, a game that usually is a huge game and is almost meaningless now. Colorado, minus 15.5 at Arizona. We'll get back to that one because I have specific questions about that one. So do you have any thoughts on Stanford, Oregon, or Cal at Washington State, minus 15?
Washington State should hammer them. They're my lock of the week. Cal is zero sort of defense. Washington State's been known to put points up. Washington State going to win by 35 plus this week.
Spill it. You want to say it?
I love it. It's the lock of the week is for me too. And I'm going to say it for everybody. Get in the shed.
There it is. Hashtag get in the shed.
Put it on all the take the points tweets this week, Tom. They all go get in the shed.
That's our
week
two
11,
hashtag.
Get in the shed.
What's our old hashtag? It's all business or it's just business?
It's just business.
Yeah, hashtag it's just hunting. Business. Happy hashtag happy hunting. Our new hashtag for this week is hashtag get in the shed. Do we care about Stanford, Oregon?
No, they're both horrible.
Okay, well, then in that case, Colorado minus 15.5 at Arizona. This is another road game where I feel like the line is very favorable toward the road team. Could this just be a public perception issue? Like, Arizona's complete garbage this year, guys. I mean, you're the home staters. Colorado's ranked 12th. Rose Bowl, currently. If things hold up, Colorado is a Rose Bowl team.
You know, I would really like to see Colorado play Michigan now. You know, that game earlier in the year, we knew it.
Well, they would have, I mean, they were fine at the time. They just lost their quarterback.
Yeah. They were winning in the third quarter. Anyway, or halftime, whatever. Got to roll Colorado. I think they're 9-0 or 8-1 against the spread at this point, which is pretty damn sick. Just hammer Washington State. Don't watch the Oregon-Stanford game at all. Stay away from all Oregon State games at all costs. They're horrible. And I know you got some strong feelings coming up here on USC Washington, so we'll talk about that later.
I do, but I have questions first. This is just one question. So Rich Rod, already having a terrible season, loses 69-7 against Mike Leach, put in the shed for eternity. Here's my question for you guys. We always joke about the Mac 2023, hashtag Mac 2023. The joke, for those who don't know, is like, popular coaches now who we think will be coaching MAC teams in 2023. James Franklin may have weaseled his way out, but it's like Mark D'Antonio, Mike Leach. Well, Leach might have been out too. We really have to reassess this whole idea.
Richt.
Mark Richt versus Mark D'Antonio. It's Akron versus Toledo. MAC 2023. Tuesday morning,
10:45 a.m.
There's so much good TV now that the Mac is no longer, the Mac won't be able to compete on Tuesdays for much longer. You know, soccer is a rising sport. You got cricket. Yep. The country is becoming more globalized. So the Mac, their only place will be
soccer. Yeah, like due to Champions League soccer, yep. The Northern Illinois UB game has been moved to 6:30 p.m. I know it's a late start, and we're going against nothing on TV, but yeah. So there you go. Exactly, Tom. Well said. Going back to the Mac, I think I know the question you're about to ask me. Has Rich Rod failed so badly that he's gone beyond MAC levels? Is this what you're going to ask me, Tom?
That is literally the quote. Well, I mean, not literally. The exact wording I had was, has Rich Rod coached himself out of MAC 2023?
He is just joined a new Facebook loser coaches profile group with Brady Hoke. He is now unhirable as a head coach from here on out. He's failed so bad, he's done forever. That's it. He can only be a coordinator. It's well, I mean, you can go to New Mexico and go coach if you want, like Bob Davies, but that don't count. I'm talking about Power 5 plus like 20 other schools. They're all out too. So Rich Rod, it's been a great run. I really should just call off work tomorrow and get a piece of paper out and find out what you were against the spread as a head coach, because there's no way it's above 500. We should have just all quit our jobs and bet $10,000 a game against Rich Rod. We'd all be rich. There's no way. Oh, frustrated, guys. But no, Rich Rod's done. He won't be in the MAC. He won't be a head coach anymore. And he should be fired any minute now. Arizona basketball is about to start. Do it now. No one's going to notice. No one will notice. Election. It's election night. Do it tonight. Literally no one will notice. Just fire him and get him out of there.
I think my joke to you guys was that he'll be the new wide receivers coach for the Rhine Fire. He'll be working with quarterbacks coach Danny Werfel. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about it while you were talking. And, you know, you're looking at the states like New Mexico where he could coach. I think there may be like 3 to 4 U.S. states and several of the territories where he might be able to get a job. For example, New Mexico, Montana, yep. Not a lot of good football programs in Montana. Wyoming. He's not good enough to coach at Wyoming, but perhaps there's like an ancillary state school.
He can't coach.
No, there's actually one college in Wyoming.
Yeah, and he can't coach there, and they covered last weekend. Winner.
Wait, is that right? There's only one college in all of Wyoming?
No.
No, it's 100% true. There's only one four-year college in the state of Wyoming. There's a bunch of junior colleges. There's only one four-year college. Makes I have sense. A good friend. I have a good friend, Erica, who's from Wyoming, and she moved down to Phoenix. We worked together. She didn't really like it that much. Got a job at her alma mater, University of Wyoming, and went back and works for the admissions department. So that's an actual fact. The only school. Super weird.
That's interesting. See, I told you there'd be some American knowledge on this show.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's it. Spill it. Round of applause for the most interesting fact of the day, possibly of the season.
Oh,
I had no idea being out here in Connecticut. We have like 30 colleges in Connecticut. I feel like we could consolidate a little bit. We don't need like, you don't need a Eastern Connecticut, a Central Connecticut when your state is like an hour and a half across. There could just be like UConn and then like UConn 2.
I like that.
Lil UConn.
L-I-L.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
Good.
So, yeah, he could coach in like one of those states where football isn't as prioritized, like Wyoming. Well, not Wyoming, but Montana. Maybe somewhere in Idaho, New Mexico. And then he could probably coach like in Washington, D.C. or in like the Guam or like Puerto Rican island.
There's some territories. The Cayman Islands.
Yeah, but like speaking of the election, like if you take all the states where Rich Rod could get hired, the total like electorates in the Electoral College, it's like 12.
Oh boy.
So I like it.
All right. I feel like I had another question about Rich Rod. Oh, I do. This is not so much a question, but an idea that I want to throw out to you guys, the Arizona residents. So now I'm even blanking on the name. What's the name of the good quarterback from Arizona?
Anu Solomon?
Yes. So I feel like he's going to go down in the like annals of history as like, Dan, remember when we worked at Pine Grove and we sat in the shack listening to modern rock radio all day? And all we did was listen to the radio 8 hours a day. And we heard every song released from 96 to like 2001. We heard songs that I can't remember if they really existed or if they were like a figment of my imagination. Because they were played like two times ever on Syracuse's K-Rock and then they vanished. And it's like, was that a real song or did we just imagine it? I feel like Solomon had such great potential when he started. But now because of Rich Rod's coaching, he's going to be the similar thing. Like River Setting Sun. We're like, did that song exist? And it's going to be in 10 years. Anu Solomon. Remember that guy? It's like, what? No, I don't. Who's that? Like, is that one of the guys Donald Trump made fun of?
Is it possible that he just isn't really all that great and he's the Zach Mills award winner this year as the quarterback who got progressively worse after a great freshman year?
So
is that possible? Is that in play?
Well, absolutely. He absolutely is the Zach Mills winner of 2016. I mean, we do our awards at the end of the year, but he's the Heisman, the Mills Award front runner. So I think he's pretty much got that locked up. But is it his fault or is it Rich Rod's fault? That's my question for you guys. I haven't followed closely enough.
He's been hurt a lot. He's been hurt a lot. They've had a bunch of injuries. I just think just the Rich Rod thing has gotten old, predictable. It's not that innovative. It was innovative at West Virginia 15 years ago, and it's not anymore. And so I don't know. I just think Solomon is not that great. I think he's just average.
Okay. So that sort of answers my last question then. I believe he's a junior. Is that correct? Rich Rod's out at the end of this year. Any chance he could be you know, worthy, you know, do something noteworthy next year? Or you think he's totally done?
Depends who they hire.
Dan's giving the throat slash TJ Yeldon move.
Probably not. Guys, quick election update. In the key states, Hillary's losing them all against, except for Pennsylvania. According to everything I'm seeing right now, Trump's a favorite to win tonight.
Really?
He's now a favorite.
No way. Hillary's -550.
Swear to God.
That doesn't sound right, but I haven't looked at all.
Swear to God. Look on CNN right now, guys. He's winning Ohio, North Carolina, Virginia, New Hampshire. He's got them all, except for
Florida.
Yep, him. Florida's got a lead, too. The only state he's not winning is Pennsylvania. That's it.
Jesus.
He's going to win.
Oh, my God.
I'm in shock.
He's up 137-104.
It does, yeah. Like, I mean, it all comes out of those six states, and basically he has to win 4 out of 6, and he's winning 5 out of 6.
All right, well, let's get this thing over with.
Well, that really ground the podcast to a halt.
We got to go to the grocery store. This is breaking news. We need to go get frozen pizzas and waters. I'm calling out tomorrow.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I knew there was going to be a lot of, like, quiet Trump supporters. Like, secret Trump supporters.
I almost put a bet on Trump this week just because of that idea. Like, there's so many people who are like, yeah, that guy's an asshole. But today they're like, watch this. They're everywhere.
Huh?
This is crazy. Well, take the point. Season 5 would have been fun.
Yeah, who gives a shit about USC Washington? Doesn't really matter anymore, folks.
It's all perspective.
Oh, man. Well, anyway.
This is going to be good if he becomes president. Well, we have this on record of our, like, live reaction of this going down. Oh, Dan's just screwing around. I'm not.
At least the good thing about this election, because of Facebook and Twitter and all that, like, we pretty much know how everyone, what side everyone was on. So if Trump does become like Hitler Part 2, at least we know who the Nazis were. Like, nobody will be, you know, skating off to Argentina unchecked.
Online poker in Mexico, boys. I can teach you in a month. We can do this.
Yeah.
It's not far.
All right. Well, USC is my trap of the week, Dan. I think they're going to beat Washington outright. But America may not exist at that point. So I know you need a game to finish to collect action. What if it finishes in a different country? Does that count?
I am the Vegas outsider, but I cannot answer that question.
Sam D'Arnold is a rising star, and they've been playing really well. I like Washington. I think they're a really good team, but they're in the playoff now. The pressure's mounting, and mostly this is a pick on the strength of USC the last few weeks. I feel like they do have equal to better talent. They haven't gotten the most out of them, but if they're ever going to be fired up, this is the week. So, USC. Spillett does not agree.
No, because when has a Chris Peterson team ever succumbed to pressure expectations? Every year, everyone talked up Boise, and every year they delivered. This guy just has a way of getting his team into that state of mind, and I don't see them getting a trap. I just don't. The only trap game I see for them is the Washington State game, but I think up until that point, I think they're gonna be fine.
Okay, Dan, thoughts?
Not much to add. I think you're right on.
Who, Spillett or me?
Spill it. Sorry, the last person spilled.
We've lost the energy of the show. It's all over.
It's just like there's just a wave that hit me. I don't know. Like, it's hard to keep track now. But I think we covered a good 90% of the lines before we realized our lives are changed. College football is fun. I like football. I hope we have that still.
You think atheists will have to go to the concentration camps, or you think it'll just be minorities?
I think it's just going to start with minorities, but eventually I'm in trouble.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's been a good run, folks. 4 years of the Take the Points podcast.
Play some American music on the way out, please.
We prepared two rants. Would you like to do them, or would you like to call this a day?
We will do the rants next week with, we're gonna shut this down this week. Let's listen to some American music. Hope some things get a little crazy, but this has now turned into much must-watch TV as the underdog has shown up. Going to be interesting next election when Kanye runs against Trump. Oh, boy. Get ready.
Well, we covered that one on the last one. All right.
Kanye Trump 2016.
All right. Well, in that case, fellas, we've lost it. It's all gone to hell.
Thank you, listeners. Enjoy college football. We'll regroup and talk to you next week. Hammer Washington State. Love you. Goodbye.